One, two, three, four, just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day, yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the show. The first time we've been together since the March for Science.
Yes. Right? What a march it was.
This is Dave Callens.
Hello.
And Robert Timothy.
That was a great March for Science, by the way. I have to commend you guys. I didn't do shit. I just sat in the background and took pictures. You guys did some amazing
interviews. It was so much fun.
If you guys haven't heard it, go back to last week's episode and let you know, a lot of really good stuff hit the cutting room floor. In fact, I might throw in a few March for Science clips past the outro of this particular episode, because there were so many last week that I had to put some before the outro, after the outro. Like, there was just too much good stuff in there.
You cut out a whole interview I did with some lady.
Yeah. It was hard to pick a favorite moment from it because it was all good, but one of my bright spots was right around the corner. There was like a wildlife benefit or something. They had a few tents up just as big as the March for Science. They had an actual march going down the street holding signs, like marching about anti-ivory trade. More people in that march than attended the entire science thing.
And my favorite is, as you were interviewing somebody, they were marching through the March for Science, and all of a sudden it got double the size. Yeah. And you go, hey, is that part of you guys? And then the person you're interviewing gets really excited and goes like, oh my God, I think it might be. And then they saw this thing and she goes, oh.
Yeah, I think that same person, I said, oh, God, did we miss it? And she's like, nope, this is it.
Yeah.
It was just to kind of give you guys a visual picture, because we just jumped into the interviews in that episode. We all went down to go to see the March for Science, and the brief background, first one, 2017, 15 to 20,000 people, packed, amazing, huge. Second one was a huge failure last year. It was down to like 400 to 500 people. And I'm saying this, by the way, I don't know how many people were there over the course of the day. I'm saying at any given time, there was maybe 400, 500 people. The March for Science, the first one, 15,000 people at any given time. This time we go there, and as we're driving down, Ryan's driving with me and we're talking, and I say, well, I'm a little nervous. Like, what if they're a super big success? I mean, I support their mission, so I will be happy if they're a big success, but that would also be kind of a kick to my ego of like, hey, you guys haven't done any marketing. This is going to be a failure. And Ryan's like, yeah, well, what should we expect? And I was like, well, when we come around to Waterfront Park, they have marked off a spot for more than 4,000 people, because they told us, you heard in the interviews, that's what they were expecting. More than they had to get 4,001 people for their double helix to work.
Yep.
They were expecting at least that. And they had marked off the entire Waterfront Park, which, if you know San Diego, is basically like multiple soccer fields.
It's about a football field.
Well, it's a few of them if you take the entire front of the Waterfront Park. And Ryan and I turn the corner for Waterfront Park, and it's just open green grass and maybe a dozen people that you could see milling about in the at the very end, and we just burst out laughing, and nothing had to be said. There was nothing. We just laughed hysterically.
And one thing that was misleading in those interviews from last week's episode is the guy's like, yeah, well, there's like a couple hundred people. No, there was not.
So I did a head count.
I hit the wildlife thing first.
How many people?
So I did two head counts, one when we first got there, one when we left. First got there, 38 people. When we left, 36 people. So it wasn't a weird distribution.
I stumbled upon the wildlife thing first. I thought that was the science march, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I turned the corner and saw it, and like the wildlife thing was bigger.
It was, and they had planned to be much, much smaller. Like, they, if you notice where they were in kind of on city property, they had gotten what they called a small permit.
Oh,
it
was a tiny little area, and it was full.
And they had about 40-some-odd people, 50-some-odd people. Now, granted, there were more people at the March for Science, but they were all working there. I'm just talking about people milling about. And I was thinking to myself, even if everybody who was working at the March for Science just brought a spouse, this would literally be bigger right now.
So a couple of things before we move on from the March for Science, hopefully forever, number one, that the organizer, he started to get privy to us, me and Dave think.
Yeah, he was on to us.
By the third fucking time.
Well, it's because you hit him with one of the best one-liners I've ever heard on tape, which is, first, he's already on defensive because there's nobody fucking there. It's pretty obvious. And Ryan asked him, so do you think this is a success? And he's like, well, yeah, of course. You know, I don't think we need 15,000 people to be a success. To me, it's a success every time I see a little kid walk over to one of these stands and learn about science. And Ryan goes, yeah, what has there been, five or six of those?
Yeah, fantastic.
And by the way, they had no real science displays either. Even like the shit they had was bullshit. It wasn't even like we had a great product and nobody showed up for it. You had bullshit. You had a crazy guy.
Well, they did have the 40 souls guy.
Yeah, okay, that's the last thing I want to mention. We tried to interview that guy first, right? This guy, he looked like a guy that follows around the PGA Tour. And like he had the old guy long hair and the visor. And we tried to interview him, but he was talking to somebody. I'm like, oh, excuse me. So we went, we got our interviews. Dave's like, all right, that's pretty much all we need. And then the guy was waving us over, and I'm like, all right. I did not know anything about this guy.
We were ready to pack in. We're like, oh, let's just ask him a fucking question out of here.
Let me just go over to this guy, and get. He can say his three words. I'm not even going to make fun of this guy. He probably has nothing to do with it. So let me just let me make him think he's being interviewed, and we can go. And all of a sudden, this guy's like, 40 souls are going to return to their Earth planet to teach us the science of life, the science of light, which we don't fully understand.
There's a star that's 4 football fields big. I'm like, that's the tiniest star I've ever heard of.
I know. I was going to call that out, but I was like, there's too much good stuff.
There's
going on
a
here.
Star that's the size of the open space for the March for Science.
So anyways, I just sat there like with me and Dave's mouths just fell open. We're like, oh my God, I can't believe I wasn't going to talk
to
that
guy. I don't know
great.
How.
He was amazing.
They gave a booth to a crazed cult member, but not me! Yeah. Not me! The guy with the science podcast couldn't get the booth, but the guy with the crazy cult beliefs about light gets it.
Yeah, anyways. So, moving on. You guys know I'm a fan of putting a troll in their place.
Get out of here.
I think we're going to call this section Troll Patrol.
Yeah, you need an intro.
I want a theme song. And if you're listening, write me a Troll Patrol theme song, please. In the meantime, Bobby, hit the Vigilante Justice theme music. All right. So anyways, I think I actually went too far this time.
Considering the last time you made fun of a guy's fat little kids, I don't know what you're going to do this time.
That I feel justified in. Kids never saw it. Now, that brings me to my point. So this person, par for the course, nothing unusual, sends a very gross dick pic to Erin, my wife.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And she puts it on blast, as she does. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you send an unsolicited dick pic, prepare to be put on blast with your full name.
Yep. Yes.
And if you send a solicited one, expect the same thing when you break up.
Right. Well, that's revenge porn.
I think that is actually revenge porn.
We'll get into that later. So anyways, this one, man, people kind of came, it kind of got away from me. The people that Aaron's fans not only found this dude's wife online and sent her the pictures and apparently for both of them, the emails started pouring in, man.
Wow.
Pouring in, and I guess they found this guy's work and sent it over there. And
I don't know. I'm a little conflicted about that. I think unless you're working with kids or something
it's
seems
not a work offense, really.
Exactly.
A creepy married guy sending a dick pic to a lady.
It is a relationship offense, so I will say that the wife thing is totally justified.
Yeah, but they were they were hounding her. They were tearing apart her Facebook posts too. I'm like, ooh, she didn't really do anything wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, so
she just got bad judgment.
Right. And so I had to try and pump the brakes on people a little bit. Hey guys, enough. She knows, his wife knows, he's in big trouble. Enough. It's overkill. No, of course, his Facebook page got taken down.
Sure. Now they have a joint Facebook page.
They're going to be Trish and Kirk in a real hurry. God, it was the first time in a while. I ended up apologizing to this guy's wife. I'm like,
wow.
I'm so sorry. I don't know how it got that far. I'm not about people fucking with someone's... tell the wife. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
But don't fuck with the guy's employment, because he's, if that's the sole provider of the family,
right, yep.
That's not just affecting him, you know? They already have enough problems, obviously.
Yeah, and there's a few cases where that's more justified. Like I said, if he's a preschool teacher, you're like, wait, this guy's making poor sexual decisions, maybe
right.
He needs to know. But if he's an accountant, it's not really work-related.
He was the guy that does your cast if you get a broken arm
at
the hospital.
Yeah, that's not really work-related.
Yeah.
Unless he's drawing a dick on the cast.
That would be hilarious. I would give him a mulligan on the dick pic if he found out he was up to that.
Well, side note, Ryan, I did Nerd Night, my monthly show, this week. It was fantastic. We had some people from Degenerate show up, which was very nice. Thank you guys for coming out. But one of the things they did is they had a light artist there where they go outside and it's nighttime. And
I've done that before, yeah.
And you take a picture with a 4-second exposure and then you use a flashlight to draw something and that thing becomes a picture.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh man, what should we draw? What should we draw? And I just walked up. I was like, front of the line, guys, out of the way. I just drew a huge dick and light. It was fantastic.
How can you not draw dicks?
How do you not draw a dick?
I don't know. I don't know about you, but every time I'm a customer somewhere and they make me sign one of those electronic pads, I know they can see it in the other end. It is always a dick.
Yeah.
And then I write, have a nice day across the shaft.
Have that MasterCard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Take that Visa.
And honestly, I'm kind of torn on the employer thing because I don't see a problem with that. Like, the guy's a fucking creep.
Mm-hmm.
And if he doesn't get any sort of retribution, he's just going to keep doing this
but
to other
is.
People.
He's getting personal.
He got tons.
Yeah.
He got tons.
See, my whole thing is you categorize it to where the offense was made. If he is doing this from work, then yes, it becomes a work issue. Right now, the only thing he's violated is A, Erin's rights to not have dick pics sent to her, and then B, his wife's rights to not have her husband cheat on her. He hasn't really violated any kind of work responsibilities or contract.
Right. But to me, I will agree, having people go too far, that sucks.
Yeah.
When all the fans keep pounding her. But I don't see a problem with sending it to work. That's like the stockades of the old time, public shame.
Yeah, no.
Like, let everyone know, this guy is a fucking creep. He doesn't get any sort of retribution, if people don't realize he's a creep, he's going to keep doing it.
I think his wife is plenty.
I agree.
There are plenty of spouses who will just go along with it. Like, oh, I believe your account was hacked.
She wasn't one of
blah, blah, blah,
she,
whatever.
I had the opportunity to talk to this lady. We talked a few times, and you know, because the first thing I said
and then
was
he sent her a dick pic.
It was, I actually did suggest, since he sends some boobies out, to show this guy how it feels. I'm like, find like a bunch of bikers online, some crusty old big scary ones, and send them your tits and then let him know. But anyways, I talked to her a few times. All you have to do is be like, here's what your husband's up to. Now, if she's like, fuck you, that slut seduced him, then go ahead and send whatever you
but
will.
But even then, it's unrelated to his work. So you have to put the offense
against the work thing. But as far as the wife is concerned, this is what your husband's been up to. That's all. Like, she was getting threats.
Yeah, it's not her fault. She didn't.
Yeah, that part sucks. That's like when you, because Erin had a following or has a following, and those are the people that started taking it too far.
Yeah.
That's like, it reminds me of like when celebrities, like someone will tweet something out about some other celebrity, oh, this guy's a jerk, and then the fans will start attacking them and threats. And it's like having employees that you can't fire.
You know?
Then if you try to step in and stop them, sometimes they turn on you, which is fucking...
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I was trying to pump the brakes, and like, this is the first time that I've been part of a troll patrol takedown, and that the fucking line got away from me. I was just like, I couldn't reel it in.
Yeah, see, I don't think you fuck with people's work. It's silly.
Disagree.
If it's not related to his work, it's almost you're doing more wrong than he did originally.
So
right?
Here's
because
some...
if what he is doing is not related to that work and doesn't impair his ability to do that, he has a right to work. And if somebody has fucked up, then they should be put in their place. They should be publicly shamed online. That does not mean they should lose their job.
Now, you're assuming he's going to lose his job.
Well, I found out what happened.
Okay, but I mean, regardless, if you're taking it to his work, you are putting him into the slot where he can lose his job for this, which not only affects him, but affects his family, who's already, like, his wife is already the ultimate loser in all of this, more so than Erin, more so than anybody else.
Yes.
His wife had to take that shit. She has to be super embarrassed. You better believe all her friends saw it on her Facebook page. She has taken the worst brunt of this. She now has to be physically destitute if he loses his job.
Right.
That's just not fair.
You're making a lot of assumptions.
Well, it's not related. It's for the same reason that you can't say, like, hey, I'm going to go hit this guy in the face.
But you're making
like
a lot of assumptions that he's going to lose his job, that they're going to be destitute.
No,
I'm making
the assumption that you don't have the right to contact his work in the first place, just like you don't have the right to hit him. Like, you get to respond to the same degree that the infraction has occurred, and you don't get to up it, like, 10 notches.
Nah, agree to disagree.
Okay, so here was the end result. Erin took down the post that has that was shaming him in the first place. Everyone saw it. The wife knows. That's all we wanted. And so she took it down. The mean messages to his wife slowed to a trickle, then stopped. But not before a bunch of other women started coming forward to his wife.
Oh, wow.
So this was not an isolated incident. So,
and that's why it's good that the Facebook thing happened.
Yeah. So first what happened is a bartender that I am friends with, apparently the same guy showed up to her work, took pictures of her incognito while she was working, and then later sent those pictures to her going, I was watching you. You know, basically, you know, that's fucking creepy and unsettling. And then this fucking friend of his wife's finally was like, I didn't want to be the first one to break this to you, but like, remember when we ran into you at that concert, you know? later on, he started texting me like he wanted to give me a naked body massage with oil. And
wow.
I just
to
blocked
her friend?
Him, her friend.
That is crazy balls.
So a bunch of people started coming forward. Now she has to realize she's the lady with that husband.
Right. So now, Bobby, back to the point about I think it's okay to contact work. So now they're going to get divorced. He's going to be depressed. He's going to lose his job. He's going to be child support. The kids are going to grow up fucked up. What's the difference if he sent it to his work or if the marriage just ends regardless?
Because for the same reason, you just don't have a right to do it. For the same reason, you don't have a right to go hit him, right? Like, so you have to categorize what your response is. And if you go too far, you're the bad guy, right? So, like, let's say this guy sends
I felt like the bad guy this time.
If some guy sends a dick pic to Aaron and Ryan goes and stabs him in the neck, Ryan is the bad guy, not that guy. He has
false equivalency.
He has exceeded it. If you
equivalency.
If you do something that is a level up from what he has done in terms of trying to punish him, then you are the bad guy. So
I'm okay with being the bad guy. That's the case.
But then it's okay for us to start contacting your work.
No, we need to come up with a new segment. If the fans get out of control and the retribution, we need to do a new segment called Troll Patrol Patrol.
This could really get away from us.
Well, certainly I'm going to have a lot of intros on hand.
Yeah. Anyways, and then I did find out what happened. He did get called into work. I talked to his wife at the end of it. He got a warning. He's on watch. So he got a warning. So I think that's plenty, plenty, plenty.
Yeah, don't fuck with people's works unless they're doing something at work. But that has got to be horrible for her to figure out that all of a sudden they start coming up. And can you think of the ball? Like, that's what's crazy to me. I've seen dudes cheat. We've all been around a dude who's cheating, right? Yeah. You're at a bar with your friend, and all of a sudden he's hitting on a girl, and you're like, wait, did you and Stacey get divorced? And he's like, nah, just keep it low, man. Just keep it low.
I'm just seeing where this goes.
So,
it's so creepy. Yeah. It used to happen to me a lot more when I was younger, when you realize this is why young people shouldn't get married. When you're 24 and you're out with your married 24-year-old buddy and he's trying to bang somebody, and you're like, all right, this is why you don't get married at 24.
I'd like to think it slows down when you get older because of maturity.
Yeah.
But I think it's more along the lines of when you're 24, there's no real risk. Whereas like when you're in your 30s, like, oh, this could cost me a house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, when that would happen, I'd always be like, ooh, I don't want to be around this guy. Now he feels gross. Like, I don't want to be around him anymore. But no, I was never around anybody who had the balls to do it to their wife's friend. Oh, that's great. That's like different level balls. She is your wife's friend. She's more likely to tell your wife than to talk to you.
My wife's ex-husband did it to her friend. And she didn't find out until after. Because here's the dynamic. Nobody wants to be the person
that breaks
that.
Right, the friend doesn't want to ruin the marriage,
and
that shit.
And there's another dynamic to it. I have been the friend that has broken the news like, dude, your girl's fucking around. And I'm going to tell you something. It never ended out well for me. What happens is they go, oh, my God. They run back. They yell at her like, Ryan said you got double teamed by two Navy guys. Then she goes, Ryan tried to grope me. That's why he's saying that. And it's easier for a guy to believe that his wife or girlfriend did not cheat on him than his friend is just trying to make up some bullshit. For some whatever reason she fed him, it is easier on your ego, on your heart, and people know this.
I just couldn't think of the balls on that person.
I can't get it.
The idea that you would walk up and you're like, hey, yeah, you've been my wife's friend since grade school, and then she goes to the bathroom, and you like look to her, and you're like, you want to bang real quick before she gets back out? What the fuck?
Evidently, that's how it went down. And so I can't understand a person that would be so tenacious and overzealous towards that, but I can understand why a friend wouldn't say shit.
Oh, absolutely.
I have become that friend. I have seen friends, girlfriends cheat. I'm like, not my business, not my problem.
All right, you guys all have the permission to tell me if you catch my wife cheating, by the way.
I understand.
I promise I won't turn it back around on you.
I understand that, but you know as well as I do, you can probably close your eyes and think of three friends that right now, if you caught their wife cheating and told them, in 3 weeks' time, you'd be the bad guy. I'm sure you know that person.
Yeah, I try not to hang out with them anymore,
Now that you don't have that friend anymore, and you're the asshole, and she's going around saying that you were creepy just to cover her own ass.
Yeah, that's definitely a different type of person. That's not just I got drunk and cheated with somebody. That's devious cheating.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
Speaking of people with crazy balls, so I had a friend.
That was my nickname in high school. Crazy balls.
So there's somebody I know online who posted this. She's a lady.
Oh, I saw this post and I fucking love it.
She's
this
an older lady who, as
older, you, give me an age range, 30 50, to 40?
50s.
Okay, 50s.
Who grew up, and up until, you know, she made it, she actually kept her looks for a very long time, well into her 40s. She was a very attractive lady. Very attractive lady. And still like an attractive older lady now, just older. But you can kind of tell. So she put this post up, and I was like, son of a bitch. Like, this is what's wrong with the world.
Oh, yeah.
Read it out to me.
I have a new acquaintance in my life, and we volunteer together. Recently, she told me that she was insulted by my frequent tardiness after I took a long, deep breath and explained that I've spent most of my life trying to be
on time. Hold on. I love the part where she just, her coworker is saying, hey, you being late affects me, and she has to take a long, deep
here we go.
Breath. What did you say to me?
I have to once again face this persecution.
I have been attacked.
After taking a long, deep breath, I explained that I've spent most of my life trying to be on time, but sadly, it's not a life skill that I possess.
A life skill?
A life skill.
It's actually not a life skill at all.
No!
It's just...
That's just called being fucking courteous.
No, it's... I mean, I'll finish this off a little bit later, but yes, this isn't a life skill. It's a choice. You make a choice.
Right.
Am I leaving the house at 10:30, or am I not? If you leave the house at 10:30, you are on time. Now, listen, I get... If you say, hey, there was traffic, there was a flat tire, there was something, fine. That is not your fault. That occurs. But if your thing is, I just can't get out of the house by 10:30, I don't have a life skill. It's not a life skill.
No,
you're just choosing not to walk out the door.
This is worse than people who say adulting about doing normal things.
Yes, and she's well into adulthood.
Yeah, adulthood's almost over, to tell you the truth. She's got about 20 more years of that.
She continues, before I entered my fifth decade, I'd kill myself trying to make it on time somewhere. No, you wouldn't. You'd be there. That's it. Everybody else can do it. You can do it, too.
It was so hard for her, Bobby. You don't understand.
It worked out for me about 50% of the time. But lately, I've just stopped trying so hard. And ironically, I'm on time about 75% of the time now. I'm pretty happy about that improvement. You shouldn't be. You should never be happy with this mediocre improvement.
And also, based on her friend's reaction, I don't think 75% is an accurate representation.
Yeah, yeah.
That is like saying, I used to cheat on my wife with all her friends, but now I've improved just cheating with strangers. I'm very proud
of this. Just cheating with her best friend.
I'm very proud of this new marked improvement.
And she finishes it off with, sorry, lady, but for the sake of your blood pressure, you should probably move on. Three happy faces. And so I immediately saw this and was like...
Was she talking to herself or her coworker to move on?
To move on. Her coworker.
Coworker.
Yeah.
She said, hey, you're showing up late and I have to do your work for you. Moving along.
Yeah, keep going. And I was so...
You expect me to be on time? Sorry, I'm not the friend for you.
The life skill thing is what really bothered me.
Yeah.
Because if what she said was, I am really bad at planning... I am somewhat inconsiderate. I am clearly not prioritizing getting places on time. Then you're honest, right? Then that's truthfully while you're on time. But by attributing it to a life skill, what you've done is, this is a responsibility I no longer have to have. This isn't my fault. This is like having nearsightedness. I just can't read the DMV sign, right? This isn't my fault. This is why it happens. People don't take responsibility for those actions.
Right.
Instead of just saying, I choose to be late all the time because I don't consider other people's time very valuable.
Right.
That is the honest answer to that.
And the very fact that her coworker was bringing up tells me that her not being there somehow affects
was
them.
A problem.
If it didn't affect them, she wouldn't even know.
Yes.
When I worked office jobs where other people's work was just completely independent of mine, I couldn't tell you if they were on time or late every day. I wouldn't know. But when I worked, like, let's say a cash register at CVS, my shift start at 7, and someone else would open their register at 7:30. When they were fucking not there by 7:45 and a line was forming, I fucking knew it because it was affecting me, goddammit.
Dude, imagine this. This is like, think back to your 20s when you're dating. Imagine you meet someone that you like. You're like, oh, this could be a relationship. You start hanging out. You start sleeping together. First night you sleep together, you wake up, she has pissed the bed. And you're like, what the fuck? And she's like, you know, I gotta tell you, not wetting the bed just isn't a life skill that I have mastered.
At least that's not voluntary, though, right? Like, that's something she did in her sleep. That's legitimately more of a life skill than showing up someplace on time.
Not pissing the bed is harder than being places on time.
Like, literally the only way you can say that showing up someplace is a life skill is if you cannot read a clock. If you're like, the life skill of reading time doesn't work for me, so I just start driving when the sun is around the right space in the sky. And I can't seem to manage it.
I'm going
to
try that next time I get pulled over for speeding. I'm sorry, officer. Following speed limit just isn't a life skill I've mastered.
Not a life skill I have.
Now, when I worked in healthcare and I managed clinics and stuff, the university I worked for had a very strict policy for their doctors. If a patient was more than 15 minutes late for their appointment, the doctor was allowed not to see them and not have any consequences for it.
By the way, I think more things should have this.
I do, too.
There should be more losing out for being late so that people like this learn that if you don't want to develop your quote-unquote life skills, go fuck yourself. Like, you need to get placed on time. Your time is not more important. That's right. What you're saying to everybody. No. It's more important for me to fuck around with my hair for the next 15 minutes than get in the goddamn car with frizzy hair and get to where I need to go.
I ran the front office, so the doctors would never have to see the reaction this would cause.
But oh, I can imagine. So Jesus.
It's crazy that, by the way, doctor's appointment at this particular healthcare establishment, 20 minutes. So 15 minutes, you've missed three-fourths of your fucking appointment, right? Yeah.
And another appointment is about to start.
And yeah, someone else has to go now, too. It is so rare for places to have this policy that when people would show up 15 minutes late, 18 minutes late, 30 minutes late for a 20-minute appointment sometimes, I'd say, I'm sorry, he can't see you. That would throw off his schedule for the rest of the day, and he has other appointments. Their mouths would drop open. What? Like, it was so unfathomable. And a couple of things. First things, the pet peeve I would have is people would go, I got here as quick as I can. And I'd look down, and there'd be a piping hot of Starbucks in their hand.
Right.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
No, you did not. You stopped for that.
Also, fuck you as quick as you can. Get here on time. I don't give a shit about how quick you can get here.
And I would love doing this one, too. So they'd be like, it's raining out. There's traffic. There was no way I could get here on time. I'd go, everyone else did. But hey, guess what? You know why I can't see you? Because his next patient made it on time.
Yeah, right.
Bobby, the thing I hated the most about that post, as obnoxious as that is there was a comment from one of her friends that said, hey, I'm gonna regret you this, do you.
Give me some of the comments here.
So one of them was really good. Like, a few of them were like, hey, you're actually being really insensitive to this other person's time.
Yes. Whoever you are.
And I know. I read a few of those, and I was like, thank you, you brave souls. Thank you for being the arbiters of justice. But one of them, you do you. Your rhythm is the right rhythm for you.
Oh, that person needs to be fed through a wood chipper.
You are enabling. You are the wife of the serial killer who cleans up his bloody clothes and doesn't say shit about it. You are a horrible monster.
You are the friend at the concert that doesn't tell that lady that her husband sent her a fucking text message about nude body massages. Anyway, no, but this fucking you do you shit, we've talked about it before. It's in the same. I feel they're the same people with the you don't know their story. I feel like that's the same lady.
Yeah.
This is a person you got to fucking unfollow or unfriend. I just did one very similar. Well, this is a little bit more egregious. I had to unfollow this lady because she would be constantly lamenting that her kid got taken away by the courts, and in order to get her back, they were going to force her to live a quote-unquote vanilla lifestyle.
Now, did you ever figure out how she got her kids? Like, what did she do to get your kids taken away? Because let me just say, as a parent, I have, like, when you go to the hospital and stuff for the first time, they give you a bunch of CPS stuff. You got to fuck up real hard to get your kid taken
away.
That's
what I was going to say. Yes. Is that, like, well, you don't know what would happen. I'm like, I know the state doesn't want your kid.
Yes.
They don't want your kid. They don't want to spend tax dollars. They don't want to fill out paperwork. I know because I dated a social worker for about 2 years. She'd go in, she'd find feces and trash and roach-infested trailers, and they'd be like, all right, you need to clean this up. And they'd come back, and it still wasn't done. Like, all right, we're going to give you, like, 11 more tries, and then we're going to think about, like, taking that kid into foster care.
You have to work at it. You have to work at getting your kid taken away. You have to fuck up so bad.
It's got to be sexual abuse, physical abuse, or substance abuse.
And you know what? Both the last two that you mentioned, the physical abuse and the substance abuse, it's not even just that they exist. You have to get to a certain level. Because guess what? You can hit your kids. Right. You're allowed to hit your kids.
Yes.
And the state will not take them away from you. You are allowed to sit there and fucking get wasted in front of your kids. And the state will not take them away from you.
It'll be like this. It'll be like, I hit my kids. Oh, how hard? I get wasted in front of my kids.
Yeah.
Well, on what? it's not a deal breaker.
Yeah.
So the fact that your kid's away and now you're complaining that in order to get my fucking kid back, I have to be boring. Like, fuck you.
Hey,
fuck you.
Listen, properly caring for her child is not a life skill that she has been able to master.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, yeah, I wonder what she did to get him taken away, because that, again, that has to be big. But then B, what kind of boring life are they instituting on you? Like, are they like, hey, no Russian roulette in the house? Like, what's the limit?
My guess is no going out four nights a week cruising for dick in a fucking punk show.
You can do that. They will still let you have your kid.
Hey, hire a sitter. But anyway, so she was complaining about that. And it's not just this fucking self-entitled person going, ugh, in order to get my kid back, I can't get fucking blasted on heroin anymore. Lewd, boring. It's the comments, Bobby. every single person there, you do you, fuck the haters. CPS is not your haters, you stupid bitch.
We got to track these people down. For you know what? From now on, troll army, vigilante justice army, this is your job.
I get so fucking fired up.
Start contacting the jobs and workplaces of these supporters.
No workplace. There's no workplace.
No, workplace, fair game. Let's do it.
No, I'm saying they don't have a workplace to contact. That's what I'm saying. I keep fucking saying this on this show and otherwise. Some judgment is good. We can't just say, oh, no judgment for anyone. There is a difference between good judgment and bad judgment. Here you go. Not letting someone interview for a job because they have tattoos. Bad judgment. Judging someone because they refuse to stop doing heroin to get their kid back because that life would be too vanilla. Good judgment. Yeah. Judge the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Start holding people accountable.
And don't show up late.
Oh, yeah, don't show up late. That's my big point.
You know what? That's what you should get your kids taken away for.
Yeah. You show up on time. Yeah, that kid's coming with me.
Oh, it's God. Like how I've decided that the capital punishment should be abolished and we shouldn't use it, except for littering and not using your turn signal. Those are the two things that you should do, because there is no excuse to do either one of those.
I'm still upset about I want my kid back, but then come these bossy courts trying to harsh my vibes.
Here come the rules.
Yeah. Oh, lame. And here's the thing about this lady that you will always hear. You will always hear them go, I am a good mother, every single time. I have never seen a piece of shit parents not announce to the world too much, I am an amazing mother. You can't just declare.
You know who doesn't go on and on about what a good mother they are? Good mothers.
Well, actually, here's an easy...
I'm a good mother!
In fact, Troll Army, you should start responding to this. Good mothers don't get their kids taken away by CPS, you nutty bitch! Like,
hey, you don't know her story. You don't know her story.
You know her story. No, like, you know what? My wife, I'm going to bear this to you guys. My wife, as you two know, she was an addict, gave up my wife when she was a kid to her grandparents so she could keep partying. To this day, that woman will say, I was a great mother. I was a good mother. You'll never find a piece of shit parent that go, you know what? Not a life skill I have. Changing gears here. There's another side of that coin, by the way, I wanted to bring up on the show. Is I've got a few friends who are no longer with their kid's mom, right? Common thing. My eyes are getting opened to what a fucking racket the child support system is, man. Like, I always just thought that's one of the great things we have in this country.
Right.
Yeah, you hear about deadbeat dads all the time.
Deadbeat dads got to pay the piper, man. That's fucking, I'm all for it. I did not realize the child support system, they fucking take a VIG, like, more than any loan shark I ever worked for.
The government takes the money? So, like, they don't give it to the actual kid?
As a middleman, they take a VIG, man. They wet their beak on that shit.
That is crazy.
That is crazy.
My fucking buddy, who was not on speaking terms with his kid's mom for 7 years, she took complete control. He was forking over about $700 or $800 a month, you know, good amount. And I don't know how he came to find it. I think they sent an they got the addresses or recipients mixed up, and he accidentally got an invoice for how much of that she was seeing.
Yeah.
Guess how much? Of $800 a month.
600.
Seven.
250.
That's fucking crazy. How you
250. The
like
guy
a
had to
third.
He had to fucking call up, and his ex-wife was just like, I don't want to talk to you. He's like, whoa, don't hang up. You're only getting 250 a month in child support. She's like, yeah, because you're a fucking loser that only pays me 250. He's like, I pay 800. They're taking almost all of it.
Wow.
That's
how they reconnected as people and like have a handshake deal now. Like, I'll pay you 500 directly.
Wait a second.
No middleman.
Maybe this is the way the government tries to reconcile couples.
Like, it's a very complicated plot.
It's like they're hating somebody. They're like, join together in your hatred for us.
There's two guys in suits, arm in arm, watching us from a hidden camera in this place.
Now drink, pledge.
Another job well done, Mervin.
That's horrible, first of all. Oh, I know we're laughing. God. That's disgusting because they're literally stealing money out of the mouths of children.
Yeah. Right, literally. And also, I don't like the part where there's no cap on it and the more you make, the more they take kind of thing. I mean, listen.
It's not like some kid takes $15,000 a month to raise because he came from rich sperm. That doesn't make any sense.
Right, because at a certain part, that's just somebody taking the dude for a ride.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, listen, and before you start going, hey, fuck you, kids need those fucking deadbeat dads need to pay for their kids. I get that. Listen, my fucking wife has a kid with a deadbeat dad. Yeah. And she only gets $250 from his government cheese money because he's living on the dole. I get it. And by the way, guys who pay the minimum in child support are always the most vocal about it. Much like the I'm a good mother. That is the guy that's like, I pay $250 a month. 200.
It's like having two cable bills. Can you believe that?
I pay for my chilling. So yeah, I'm not saying these guys don't need to pay the piper, but at a certain point, another friend makes pretty good money. The more his pay goes up, the more that goes to that kid's mom, who's a fucking alcoholic, by the way. And I'm like, at some point, this kid doesn't need $5,000 a month.
Oh, for sure.
He's getting $1,000 of it.
Yeah.
You know, for his food and housing and everything, and the rest is party time.
Yeah, that is crazy. They should govern how you spend child support. So alimony is there for alimony's purposes. Child support should be solely for that child.
Right.
You use that to pay rent, you use that to pay the school, you use that to pay the kids' food. The second you buy a dress for yourself with child support, you should go to jail for fraud because you are stealing money.
Yeah, that's the flip side. Like, everyone's always talking about the deadbeat dads, which it's a big problem, but the other side of that is the mom spending money on like cars for themselves and bullshit.
Well, cars,
new boyfriend.
Cars, I'm fine.
Sports car, shit like that.
Yeah, like Bobby said, that's a perfect example. The minute you buy yourself a little evening dress with that money, fucking...
That's fraud. You have stolen that money from that child. But I also agree that it does not cost more money to raise. Like, you can't just say like, oh, well, the dad gets more money, this kid should have more money. There's this weird implicit thing where we almost say we should have oligarchies. Like, if you think of the logic behind
this... I don't know what an oligarchy is.
I was going to say, you just lost some more listeners.
Okay. So think of like a rule by an elite class of rich families, right? So that's like what's going on in Russia. Russia is run by about 200 incredibly wealthy billionaire families, and that's what an oligarchy is. So,
just like here.
Yeah, well, not as much. But so think about this. What we're essentially saying is, if the person who fathered you has money, you are entitled to money. That's a really fucked up notion that goes against everything this country stands for. The whole idea of this country is, no, you're supposed to make your own way. You should get the opportunity to go out and make a whole bunch of money like your dad or mom or grandfather or whatever, but you're not entitled to what they have. It's funny because it's the opposite of the estate tax people. People who hate the estate tax are usually on the far right, and they're like, you shouldn't be able to tax my estate when I die. This sucks. And it's like, actually, the estate tax is the only tax that was 100% agreed on by all the founding fathers. They all thought everybody's estate should be taxed.
And they didn't know anything what they were talking about, except for guns. They knew about guns.
Except for that one. So what they're saying is, when you say, hey, because you had this kid, now you should pay $10,000 a month for this kid, what you're saying is, just by being born, this child is entitled to the privilege of a wealthy background.
Well, that kind of ties into like alimony settlements where like, oh, I've become accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Well, guess what? You didn't always have that lifestyle.
Absolutely.
So.
You're not entitled to it just because you're accustomed to it. Like, what if he loses his job? Is he entitled for that company to keep paying him?
That's how come if Heather Mills' fake leg falls off, Paul McCartney's gold comes spilling out. She took him for a ride. But no, this is also what it leads to when it's like, the more he makes, the more we take. We get 30% or 40%, I forget what the number is. It's high. 30% of his salary, no matter how much that person makes. What that leads to is a poor reward system for people that would have nefarious plans with having a kid with somebody.
Yeah.
Which is what happened to the latter person I talked about.
Like, and every NBA player ever.
Right. We are rewarding people for trying to trap someone with a kid.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
And I'm not saying, oh, them bitches are out to get their money. I'm not trying to say that, but there's nefarious people out there.
Yeah, and that should not be where the incentives are. That's the whole point. There's no reason to have the incentives put in that fashion. Really, who it benefits, it doesn't benefit those super skeezy women who are getting out to do that, but mainly it benefits lawyers. The entire system is set up to benefit her lawyer, who's going to take a huge percentage of the settlement when they're finally doing it. There's a great ongoing meme of a guy, I think he was a VP for like Citibank or something, one of the big companies who's making bank, and he was getting a divorce and his wife's lawyer was like being super unreasonable. They had given him time and time again. They'd given a bunch of fair things, including he was going to give her 50% of everything, even the stuff he brought into the marriage, and she was like, no, I want it all. And so he settled with her, and she's like, all right, what do you want? And she laid everything out. I was like, indefinitely, I want 50% of your salary. And he's like,
indefinitely. After the kid is
No, there was no kid involved in this one. And he was like, okay, well, after he realized it was totally unreasonable, his lawyer negotiated, he's like, I'll tell you what, I'll keep the house, I'll keep the car, I'll give you 75% of my salary from now on. And they were like, all right, fine.
Please tell me he gave himself a pay cut, like a drastic pay cut.
No, he quit and got a job at Circuit City. He's like, I got enough money to live on. I got a retirement. I don't need this shit. Fuck her.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I like it.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so, I mean, the system's flawed. And, you know, there's another part of it. Like, can we not take it case by case? We have a friend that was living in his car for a while. His wife was making great money.
Yeah.
And she's still like, where's my child support? And he's like, I'm eating out of the garbage. Like, give me that money.
Yeah.
You know, like, can we not have a case-by-case basis sometimes?
Right.
Can we not call for a review?
And then also, let's take all that money that apparently the child support system is siphoning away from kids, like 500 out of the 800 bucks.
That's my point. Then when you start to be like, dude, it doesn't make sense for a guy, just because he's making 200K a year, to be forking over 10 grand a month,
yeah.
That kid is not getting that. It's like, well, it's not for the kid. It's not for the mom. They have that rule in place, so that's more they can take to wet their fucking beak.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they should all...
It's the fucking mob, dude. It's the fucking mafia.
I think one of the things I've thought about this a bunch is, like, what we should do... I should have done this before I got married. Almost like a prenup, you should just have a set contract design for what happens when you dissolve your marriage, and the set contract design says, we will not use the U.S. divorce court system. And in fact, filing a case in the U.S. divorce court system would violate this contract and entitle the other person to all of the money you would win.
I want to play a game of Risk where we label the countries like house, car, savings account, 401k, and then we just play, baby. We fucking play for it. I would be down for that. That's how divorces go down. That's how my divorces have been inevitably going to go down. We're going to play Monopoly. We're going to write shit.
I like the idea of a board game to settle disputes.
Yeah, no, that's fun for sure.
Yeah.
Ironically, we'd use the game of life.
It's a fun twist on a relationship ending. Anyway, let's call it a week. I'm Ryan for Dave and Bobby. By the way, if you want to see me and Bobby do some stand-up, we'll be at the Burning Beard Brewery on June 13th. Headliner is going to be Keith Carey from Comedy Central's Roast Battle. Check that one out. All right, Dave, anything coming up?
Nah.
All right. Keep doing what you're doing, buddy. You be you. Fuck the haters. We'll see you next week, Cruising with the Twos.
How do you not draw a dick?
I don't know.
Yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 yeah, time passing by. Oh, 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 motherfucking time is passing by.
No going out 4 nights a week cruising for dick in a fucking punk show.